The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's time for a conversation about the things we share in common. Our common hopes, our common fears, our common struggles. Together, we'll wrestle with the questions that we all have about the issues that affect our lives. This is The Common Good. Now, here are your hosts, Brian Fromm and Ian Simpkins.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to The Common Good. My name is Ian Simpkins, along with the one and only Brian Fromm. You can find us on Facebook at The Common Good Radio Show, 1160hope.com, wherever it is you get your podcast. And we often do say, I think my favorite part of this job is having in-studio guests.
Absolutely.
And we have an in-studio guest, a very special in-studio guest, Natalie Brown. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
I'd love for you just to let our audience know a little bit about who you are, what you do, what you're passionate about, and then we're going to get into this wonderful book that you just wrote.
Perfect. So lately I've been telling people that I am a writer by trade and a storyteller by choice.
Love that.
So for my profession, I write. I love words. I love helping people communicate their messages in a way that's clear and effective.
Love it.
But I also love stories. And so through this book and through my personal life, I like to use words as a way to inspire people towards hope, challenge stereotypes, challenge the norm, and just create greater conversations.
You pretty much just described like our heartbeat and vision for this show, which part of what made me so excited to have you on the show, because it just feels like such a good fit. So you wrote this book called 52 Cups of Coffee.
Yes.
Just tell us first off, why this book? Why this title? Just give us a big picture view of this particular work.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny. I did not intend to write 52 Cups of Coffee. Mm. It started out as some emails that I wrote in college called Thursday Thoughts. And they were basically a way for me to pay attention to how God was showing up in my life, where I was finding hope in the world. Mm. And I decided one summer, you know what? I'm going to take these emails and I'm going to give them to my mom as a birthday gift. She was always super supportive of them. So I said, okay, I'm going to compile them all, do it at Office Depot. It's going to be something super quick. And as I was working on the project, I really just felt God prompt my heart to make it more, to be more vulnerable, to spend more time editing the pieces. And so that's exactly what I began to do. And it took about a year and a half, and over the course of it, he just really turned it into this devotional. So 52 Cups of Coffee, it's a weekly devotional, and it's created to invite people to have intentional encounters with God.
That's so good.
So as somebody, as a pastor who loves to work in coffee shops, I love to work at Starbucks or any of the others.
Same here.
Talk about that theme of coffee that goes through it. It seems intentional. Why did you choose this concept of 52 Cups of Coffee?
Definitely. So people, a lot of people have asked me, I hate coffee. Can I still read the book?
Am I allowed?
Right. What if I'm a tea person? And all are welcome here. This is not a book about coffee. There are no coffee recipes in here. But for me, something that I noticed, similar to you, I love being in coffee shops. I love to work there. I love to meet people there. And over time, I began to notice that I had really sacred moments with people. I think there's something really special about being with someone, and the only thing that's between you two is a cup of coffee or a muffin or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I also noticed that in my spiritual life as well, when I'd show up to coffee shops and be there with God, we'd have just really special moments. And so that's kind of the essence behind this book. It's an invitation to have intentional time with God, doing the thing that you love. Maybe that's drinking coffee like me. Maybe it's drinking tea. Maybe it's playing golf or going for a walk. Whatever that thing is for you, it's an invitation. Let's spend that time with God. Let's invite him into that thing.
That's great. All right. So chapter one, it's called Exhale. And in that chapter, you share a pretty embarrassing story. So it's a two-part question. One, what is that story? And two, why did you choose to share that, especially so early in the book?
Yeah, that's a really cool story for me. So my senior year of high school, I decided to go out for the track team. And our first track meet came out, and I was chosen to run the anchor in the 4x4 relay. And it was my first time doing it. I was super nervous, but super excited. And honestly, I just pushed way too hard. And during the middle of running, I fell on my face.
No way.
Completely disqualified my team. My mom and my coach had to carry me off the track.
No.
Honestly, like, I still cringe sometimes when I think about it. And for so long, this was just such an embarrassing moment in my life. It honestly brought me a lot of shame when I thought about it. But God really spoke to me after about it, how that race kind of showed sometimes I just push too much and I forget what we have to do to run well. There's a certain discipline that's applied to that. And the same is true in our spiritual lives. We can't just jump out the gate and think, okay, Lord, I'm here. I'm going to do whatever you need me to do. There's a discipline that comes with that. And so as I was working on this book and it was getting towards the end, I was thinking about the first chapter and I was like, you know, I don't think it's there yet. I want to enhance more to this. And this track meet thing came to my mind and I felt God begin to speak to me again. And I remember taking out a piece of paper and just writing down as fast as I could. And then I put it in the book. And so it's really cool for me because something that used to bring me so much embarrassment is now a source of encouragement for me. And it's the first thing people read when they open this book.
That's so good. I love that.
On the back of your book, it starts with this line, life is loud. And I read that. I was like, yes, it is. And there's constant noise, constant busyness. And so with that, how does this book speak to that? It's got kind of a feel of contemplation and stuff. How does this book speak to the loudness and the busyness of life?
Mm-hmm. Well, part of that goes into it being a weekly devotional rather than a daily devotional.
Oh.
And so with that invitation, going back to like, this is your chance to invite God into something that matters to you. There's this call towards intentionality. And in that, we kind of get to find a quiet space with God and say, Lord, I want you to speak to me. So rather than something that you do every day, though I love a good daily devotional, this is something to carry with you throughout the week as you read the story and reflect. It's this chance to say, God, will you keep speaking to me through this one specific experience, through this one story? And in that, I think kind of we put the noise at bay a little bit and we say, God, keep showing me more. Keep letting me find out more about who you are and what you're teaching me in this season.
That's really good. Okay, so it becomes pretty clear that you've been all over the world.
Yeah.
And anytime that I meet with people who have traveled a lot, they always have a very visceral sense of like what that brings to them and their writing. Mm-hmm. Can you speak a little bit about how you believe your travels have impacted the way you write and the way that translates to just sort of your average reader?
Definitely. I've been very blessed from the time I was young to be able to experience different cultures, experience different countries. And I think the biggest thing for me is that that has given me a greater sense of how big God is.
Yeah.
I think sometimes it's so easy to put God in a box based off of our experiences, our rituals, our church practices.
Yeah.
But when I go to other places in the world, sometimes where Christianity is not the norm and you can actually be in trouble for being a Christian, it's cool to see how sacred their religion is to them.
Yeah.
But when I go to other places and the culture is different from my own, I get to remember, whoa, God, you are the same God that I serve, but there are so many different ways to serve you. And another thing for me is it reminds me how big the church is. So I was privileged to spend 6 months in South Africa when I was in college. And finding a church there was such a sacred experience for me because though I was in a completely different country on the other side of the world, there were so many churches there. And just entering into the church, I felt this exhale almost like, wow, these are my people. Even though I didn't know their names, I didn't know who they were.
Right.
I knew, hey, we are in this together. We serve the same God. And because of that, we already have common ground.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's really good. I'm curious about travel. What is it about travel, do you think, that fills your soul? Like you've clearly, in your bio, it says South Africa, China, Hong Kong, Israel, Jamaica, among others. Clearly travel's a huge deal for you. Maybe I'm assuming you're still to get to travel. Why do you love to travel so much?
I think this is going to sound a little bit weird, but there's something about the disruption that I think is really good for me. So I'm someone that loves routines. I thrive off of routines. I don't like change. But when I'm given the opportunity to go to a new country, or go to a new place, there's a sense of discomfort that I feel and having to kind of set aside my routines and find something new. But every time I'm really forced to find God in the midst of that. So even like when I studied abroad, I said goodbye to my family, my friends, my school, everything that was comfortable. And the only person that I could really run to was Jesus. And so even though it's exciting and it feels glamorous to get to go to other places, sometimes in the tension of being in unfamiliar settings, I find that I really have sacred moments with God.
I love that. So another theme kind of woven throughout the whole book is this theme of hope, which now maybe more than ever is like such a necessary theme.
Definitely.
Can you talk to us a little more about that?
Yeah, I think that that's something the Lord has really been speaking to me about lately. I've kind of had this message that this world is far too desperate for people who have found a greater hope to remain silent. And I think that plays a big role in this book. Every time I wrote a chapter, I wanted it to come back to the idea that God is faithful. And I think we're living in a day and time where people are looking for people or someone to be faithful. They're looking for something that's bigger than themselves. And what we get throughout the Bible is that God keeps showing us he is good and he is faithful. He's good and he is faithful. And when I take the time to pay attention to that in my own life and invite other people to do the same, I think we're invited to find a greater sense of hope in our day-to-day lives.
And Natalie Brown taking us to church today. My goodness. Would you stick around for one more segment?
Hey, I'd love to.
If you're just joining us, that's Natalie Brown, author of the new book, 52 Cups of Coffee. You can learn more, and I highly recommend you do, at nataliebrown.com. We're going to continue to talk to her about her book, her experience, and all the things that kind of led to the formation of this book in the first place. That's coming up next on The Common Good on AM 1160. Hope for your life. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to The Common Good. My name is Ian Simpkins, along with the great, the mysterious, the magnanimous.
None of that, but I like this. I like where this is going.
Why'd you stop me? Such a words of affirmation guy.
I know. This is good.
Those weren't necessarily affirmations. Anyway, welcome back. And if you want to find us on Facebook, you know, what is our Facebook?
The Common Good Radio.
I am falling apart of the seams. Yes. Also, 1160hope.com. But if you're just joining us, we have the wonderful Natalie Brown in the studio. She just wrote 52 Cups of Coffee. Plus, because I'm not that smart, I got the website wrong. So here's the actual website. It's natalieabrown.com. And that's Natalie, N-A-T-A-L-I-E. Is there other ways to even spell Natalie? Why am I even spelling this for people?
Our books would say yes.
That's good.
You're like, Megan? You're like, I'll take it.
Right. As long as my latte is
not even close. I just need caffeine, even if it's somebody else's.
Exactly.
That's natalieabrown.com. Again, she just wrote this book, 52 Cups of Coffee, which, as a, you know, a real caffeine addict, I'm already in. And Brian mentioned this earlier. We've never written books before. Yep. And a question that I'm always curious about is, do you have a favorite chapter? Like, the whole thing, I know, is sort of like your baby, right?
But it is.
Is there a favorite chapter, and why?
You know, at the moment, I'm going to say that chapter 3 is my favorite. Mm. And that chapter is called Gifts of Desperation. And I like this chapter because when you hear the title, it's kind of like, what? Does that even make sense? Like, how can desperation be a gift? Mm. But this chapter really talks about the bleeding woman in Scripture and how she got to this place where she had expended all of her resources. Mm. She did everything that she could and nothing worked. And from that desperation, she was willing to do what seemed dangerous, what was not in her best interest from the outside, to get into the presence of Jesus. And that's where her miracle happened. That's where her transformation occurred.
That's awesome.
And so for me, I began to realize sometimes in our desperation, that gets us to do the one thing we need to do to get into the presence of Jesus. Mm. And that's where transformation can happen.
That's so good.
So the answer to this is probably everybody, but is there a specific person or someone in a specific stage of life or something they're going through that you really hope picks up this book? Who are you thinking of when you wrote this book?
Yeah, for me, the person that I want to pick up this book is someone that wants to add a little bit of pizzazz to their relationship with God.
Well,
so like any relationship, you know, there are certain things that you have to do. You need to stay in communication. You need to be open and you need to be honest. But sometimes even in relationship with the people we love most, we kind of lose the spark. We kind of lose the fun that comes with it. And so if you're in that place with God, I want you to know, first of all, that's okay. He still loves you. He still wants to be in relationship with you. And this, I hope that this book can be a resource for you to be like, hey, Lord, do you want to go out? Do you want to go do something new? Let's spend some time together talking about stories, talking about your word.
Okay, so this is your first book, right?
It is.
And I anticipate, even just listening to you speak, you're so well read, so articulate. Like, I hope you keep writing for a long time. But I'm curious, even just from your own perspective, where do you hope that God takes this book specifically, and where do you see your writing future going?
Mm, that's a great question. Mm. With this book, I hope that God continues to take it to people who are searching, people that are longing for something deeper with him. And then kind of a subset of that is, I hope that God continues to use this book in the lives of young women. Mm. That's a place where my heart just really aches. And so I hope that young women continue to pick up this book and read it and invite God into their relationship with others, build community, all of that good
That's
stuff.
Great.
In the future, I hope that he just keeps using my writing to encourage other people, both inside and outside of the church.
That's so good.
So before you mentioned this this email chain, I think it was, you called it Thursday Thoughts, and you said you did that in college?
Yes.
So this is really impressive, because Ian, I don't know what you were like in college, but I wasn't
Not a good
doing
person.
Anything
no,
I productive have. In college. I wasn't writing. I wasn't doing that. I would love to hear more story about that. What made you want to start something like that? And it sounds like your mom played an influence. Tell me more about this Thursday Thoughts idea and what it did in your life.
Yeah, I love this story because Thursday thoughts actually kind of originated from a darker place in my life.
Oh,
mm. And so I was a junior in college, and I was really going through a season of just feeling really down and discouraged a lot of the time. And I was starting to get concerned. So I called my mom one day, and I was just like, Mom, I'm in this place where I'm feeling really down. Like, I don't know what to do. And she mentioned a verse that my dad had been going through our family with, which is found in Proverbs. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish.
Yeah.
And she said, I think you need to talk to God, tell him how you're feeling, and ask him to reveal your purpose and renew your vision. So I went through this period of time where I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to give you an hour every day. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask for you to reveal my purpose. And it's kind of funny. I say I was hoping for like a Moses moment. Like I wanted like a, this is exactly what I'm calling you to do. Go do
come
it.
Come down from on high.
Exactly.
Right?
Where's my burning bush sword?
Right, right.
But I didn't get that. Instead, what I got is the Lord began to prompt my heart towards things that really made me passionate. One of those things was writing. Another one of those things was women's ministry.
Mm.
So I began to pray, Lord, how can I live into those things now? And a few days later, my friend Caitlin came to me and she just said, hey, I want to talk to you about something. And there's an author I really like named Hannah Bruncher that sends out emails every Monday.
Mm.
She said, you know what? You're in this place where you're feeling really discouraged. Why don't you use writing as a form of hope? She's like, why don't you send out an email once a week like Hannah? So Thursday thoughts kind of came from that.
Mm.
And then eventually it became the basis of this book. And wow. I still send out Thursday thoughts today.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm. If you go to my website, you can find a little plug that says need some encouragement if you enter your email.
Which just as a reminder, that's Natalie A. Brown.
Yep.
Not Natalie Brown.
Yep.
Which I'm sure is a lovely lady, but
I'm sure she is as well.
We're not talking to her right now. We're talking to Natalie A. Brown.
Yes.
I'm sure she's a lovely lady. That's good.
Okay. So up until this point, you've talked a lot about like the impact the book has had on other people and what you hope it will have. And anyone that I've ever talked to that's written a book, they almost always talk about it like this journey, but it also, it sounds grueling. Like it sounds like there's some real highs and some real, real lows. Like,
definitely.
Can you talk a little bit about how writing this book has impacted you personally?
Mm, great question. For me, I think the biggest thing that this book did for me, it felt almost like working out every single day. And you're kind of building these muscles where at first it's really painful, but the more you do it, the stronger you get. And so for me, I'm someone, I love the moments of inspiration. Like when I first had the idea to really do this book, it was like, yes, this would be awesome. But then with time, as that kind of began to just fade away, it was like, oh man, I have to keep showing up. I have to keep waiting for the words to come. But in the process, I think I really developed this muscle of patience that obviously I still have to work on that. But it was something I really needed a lot of before, just the ability to wait on God and say, you know what, Lord, I feel you calling me to something. So I'm going to keep showing up even when it takes longer than I expect.
Mm.
I think that's the biggest thing that this book did for me.
That's great.
So this might be a completely unfair question because you just wrote this book. But as a writer, is there something else percolating in you? Or are you just waiting on God to see what that is? What might be out there in the future? What's coming?
Definitely. In terms of writing, I have another book that I'd like to write. It's still in the development stages. But I want to take some time to write a book about God's grace and how that grace shows up to us in every moment. And something I've been realizing in my own life is because God has extended us his grace, we have this gift to be able to face really broken situations and say, hey, what's beautiful in this? And how can we respond to the brokenness that we're seeing? And I think that we need to do more of that. We need to look at what's beautiful and what's broken.
Yeah.
So I'd love to write a book that kind of talks about some of my life experiences and goes through that. And I'm also developing a curriculum right now for young women that's meant to empower them to identify their God-given calling and to respond to it. Because I feel like God kind of took me on this journey with writing and with women's ministry, I realized, you know what? God has a specific calling on each of our lives.
Yeah.
It kind of goes back to Esther 4:14. Who knows but that you've been called for such a time as this? I want to help encourage women who are in high school and college to begin to respond to that today. It's not something you have to do when you're 52 or later on in your life. It's something that God can speak to you about now.
That's so good. I'm just curious. Both of the things you just mentioned are writing specific. Are you interested in like speaking or painting or juggling or what are you like all the things outside of writing that you're like really interested to kind of sink your teeth into too?
Yes. So my background is in communication. So I do like to speak.
Clearly. You're so good.
Oh, thank you. It's definitely something that God is continuously calling me into and something that I'm just still getting my feet in the water in, but I love to be able to just talk and have engaging conversations with people about who God is and what he's doing in our everyday lives.
That's so good.
But not juggling.
But not, not juggling. I can juggle if you're looking for, you know.
If you guys want to teach me, you know, I'd be open to that.
I know about as much as you do about juggling right now. So remind us as we start to wrap up here, we can get the book at natalieabrown.com. Also, yes. Amazon, all sorts of other places, mm-hmm. wherever we can find books. Is that where we go?
Yep. Yeah.
Right. It's called 52 Cups of Coffee.
52 Cups of Coffee. Natalie Brown, thank you so much for joining us in the studio. Please come back again sometime.
Yes,
thank you. I'd love to. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. Again, the book is 52 Cups of Coffee. Go to natalieabrown.com, not only to learn more, but to sign up for the mailing list if you'd like, and mm-hmm. to learn about other opportunities to engage with Natalie. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Common Good on AM 1160. Hope for your life.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.